Sleepers? Yoda, this is. Powerful you have become. But the dark side I sense in you. I sense used other draft kits you have. Once down the dark side, forever will it dominate your destiny. A dark place we find ourselves in. And a little more knowledge lights our way. The light of Sleeper Wire, Draft Genius. Get the Draft Genius from Sleeper Wire. Pass on what they have learned. The Draft Genius is here. Strong the force it is. Pre-order now by Sleeper Wire Patreon going to. Yes. Do or do not. There is no drop.
What is up, sleepers? We got a great show. We got a mock. We're going to get it into some fun stuff. We got the Lucky Lucas here with us. What's up, Luke?
Hey. What's going on, guys?
And that's not all. We got George from the Breaking the Grind podcast, also from our podcast. What's up, George? How's it going, man?
Hey, fantastic. Who's Lucas? I'm still jealous you went to the NFFCC.
Super
dude,
jealous.
You guys. Super jelly. Please come next year. I beg.
You're hanging out with all of us.
I'm on record. I'm coming next year. Lucas, you got about 25 seconds left.
Hey, you let's go.
Like, I don't want you to auto draft 101. That's just terrible.
Oh. Okay. Let's.
Should be a pretty easy pick, and the pick is in. You want to announce your pick?
So I took Todd Gurley over everyone else. I like the top four, but Todd Gurley's my boy. He won me some chips last year.
As he probably did you guys as well. Or he cost you some chips. And, yeah. You know, if you listen to us, that probably didn't happen to you, though. You were probably listening to Lucas telling you, draft him early. He probably didn't fall to you in the third round. You probably took him in the second round.
I took Todd Gurley in the first round in a few drafts last year.
I can. No, yeah, I know. You were probably – I want to say you were the biggest – on him last year. Not that, you know, any of us were down on him so much, but I mean, he busted pretty badly. Who do you think is going to bust this year, I guess, out of this first round of backs?
That's tough. That's real tough because I think David Johnson comes out and has a huge year. What people forget is that as good as Todd Gurley was last year, David Johnson put up like 15 more points than that the previous year. And it wasn't a leg injury, guys. This was a wrist injury. Like, I'm not worried about DJ. He's going to come swinging. Le'Veon Bell's going to try, but he averages 11 games a season since coming into the NFL. Le'Veon Bell's the person I'm most worried about. He's at my number four spot.
Yeah, I mean, Bell, I you know, with him not reporting the camp, we saw him kind of come on a little slow. I mean, I don't think anybody's worried about him in a PPR because he will get the catches. But I don't really like drafting running backs too early just because they do bust every year and we don't know which ones will. I mean, it's a new top 10 every year. And we got Saul here that we're probably going to have to push his draft here. He's how do I even do that here? It's been some time. It's time's up.
Force pick.
Yeah, okay, I see. Pick his pick. Yep. And Saul is auto Antonio Brown. Cannot be upset with that. And he had the sixth pick. I'm up.
Yeah, the sixth pick, yep.
So first round, we got Todd Gurley, Lev Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, goes to George. Steve picks David Johnson. Alvin Kamara by K Page 1. Saul auto picked Antonio Brown. Usual stuff. A lot of usual stuff.
I was surprised Zeke came to me. I was thinking I could get him at the three pick when I selected third, but when I seen Lucas come in at 101, I thought for sure, being a Dallas fan, he was going to take Zeke.
No, I have a draft coming up where I get the first pick. I already know I get the first pick, and I know I'm going to go Todd Gurley because it's a PPR. If they use Zeke in the passing game, it would influence me a little differently. But
I think he'll get about 50 catches this year. Wow! Which and if you look at what he did last year over 10 games, he had about he had 32 catches. So if you spread that over the six games he misses, it's just shy of 50. that they lost a whole bunch of targets with Dez and Jason Witten leaving. So they're going to throw Zeke the ball. He's going to get some catches. It would not shock me if he had more than 50, but I was going to go conservative with the 50 number of catches for Zeke this year.
Here's the only thing that makes me nervous about that. It's a little guy behind Zeke named Rod Smith.
Rod Smith, yeah. Yep.
This guy is a monster, and I think that they're going to get him involved. That's the only reason I don't think Zeke is going to hit 50 catches.
I agree. Rod Smith is a monster. I just don't think he's going to cut it that much into Zeke's touches and playing time. Zeke would have to get hurt. He would have to get hurt in order for Rod Smith to make a huge impact.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be an interesting fantasy, a daily fantasy play, because he'll have some big games, I think. And I really am interested to see if they run any two back sets between the two of them to get Rod Smith involved, just because he is one of the most dynamic players outside of Zeke, for sure. He just makes people miss.
One of the players I've been telling everybody, take in the last two rounds, if you can, is Rod Smith. If Zeke does get injured, you're looking at an instant RB1 in Rod Smith.
Yeah. Now, what about Bo Scarborough, guys? I mean, we haven't heard much about him in the offseason, but I have been seeing him taken in some, drafts where you have heavy bench spots. So is that just because he's there and the Cowboys drafted another guy, or is he a guy to actually look at?
I think lottery ticket. Honestly, that's a lottery ticket. I don't think that there's any real value this year there.
So you'd much rather have just some other guy that's going to contribute lightly, or would you rather have him?
Like a
Buck Allen or something like that, who I like in a PPR, and I think he's going to probably do well, but he's going undrafted. Or would you rather have that lottery ticket in a Bo Scarborough?
I mean, I would throw him among other lottery ticket candidates. So, everyone at your final rounds, those are your players that are droppable. If some news comes out about another player that, is likely to pop off that no one drafted, so you can go scoop him up. I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other about him, other than I don't think that there's going to be a lot of fantasy production from him this year. But I am interested to see what he does down the line. So maybe in a dynasty league, that he's an interesting player to talk about.
Yeah, fair enough. And we're going to go back to the draft here. So again, we went Todd Gurley, Bell, Zeke, David Johnson, Kamara, followed by wide receivers, Brown, Hopkins. I took Hopkins, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt. Odell Beckham was the third wide receiver off the board. Then we saw Cook, Fournette, second round started by Keenan Allen. Christian McCaffrey, been hearing a lot of buzz about that guy. Michael Thomas, Barkley fell to the second round. That's the first time I've seen that happen. Devontae Adams, great value there, even though I've seen him go as high as the early first round, as late as the third round. So that's an interesting pick there. Anything about this second round so far that's standing out? Strategies you're starting to see? Looks like we see just a girl with Dalvin Cook and McCaffrey. Ogun went Beckham and Michael Thomas. And Jay Rosas, even though he was auto-picked, he got Hunt and Barkley. What a sexy tandem there.
Yeah, that's I've seen Hunt drop there. I haven't seen Barkley ever.
Who's got 10 seconds left?
I got 10 seconds left, and luckily I love this guy, so I don't need all of it. I'm going to go Julio Jones.
This is Hoos's ultimate lineup from this position. DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. Yep. I'll take that every single day.
Yeah. Love the fact that there's talk that he's might get a contract. They might work it out. That little bit of blurb came out yesterday. So, I mean, that's nice. It wasn't scaring me either. Even though, not really afraid of Ridley or the rest of the guys that they have there, Julio should see a touchdown boost. I mean, he's never had these back-to-back, many touchdown years as he's had. He saw 10 touchdowns, and he saw 8 touchdowns. He saw 6 touchdowns. We've never seen him have regression this bad. So the yards have always been there. I'll take Julio every time this, you know, at this position in the draft. So Saul took Devonta Freeman after McKinnon. There's a lot of love and hate for that pick in the second round. I'm not that upset with it, but I can understand the hate for McKinnon. What do we think about McKinnon right there in the second round? Kind of right there, smack dab in the middle.
It's way too early for me. It's way, way too early for me. I'll take him in the middle of the third. And Rob Gronkowski just got taken right before me. I would take Rob on the 2-3 turn. That's about where I would take him. So he was going to be one of my picks if he fell here. So now at the turn, I have the next two picks. I have Todd Gurley already, and I don't love my wide receiver options right here. Doug Baldwin and T.Y., I like them, but Doug Baldwin burned me last year.
Well, I mean, he's got no Jimmy Graham, right? He's got no Tyler Lockett, right? Or well, no, he's not, got Lockett's Brandon, there. Sorry.
He's got Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, he's got no Paul Richardson. So, I mean, Brandon Marshall.
It was totally sarcastic.
He should still be, I don't know, speaking of Brandon Marshall, I guess really quickly, we'll get back to the draft. Does he do anything? I mean, he's got to get some red zone targets or something, or is it
that's Baldwin? That's what I'm thinking. They'll use him in the red zone. I mean, he's a big body in the red zone. That's basically what they did last year with Jimmy Graham. He was a great red zone target for them. I think Brandon Marshall comes in and same thing. He's a big body in the red zone for them.
All right. Steve took A.J. Green. So he's got David Johnson, A.J. Green. George took Mike Evans. Mike Evans in the second round. Talk to me about Mike Evans, George. I don't love Mike Evans. I didn't like him last year too much. I didn't like him this year too much. I like him in the third round. I think he'll still be a wide receiver too. But I don't know if he can crack one again after there's so many mouths to feed. You're hearing a lot of Godwin hype. We just had Greg on, and he'll be on the show Friday. You'll probably, you guys are here, you know, after this show. We had Greg on, and he's a beat writer for the Buccaneers. It's a lot of mouths to feed around there. So talk to me a little bit about Mike Evans.
Well, I like Mike Evans. When Ryan Fitzpatrick came in last year and played in for Winston, he locked in on Evans. So I'm not concerned about, you know, the 3-game suspension that Winston's going to be serving to start the season. Evans is still going to be the focal point of that offense. I'm not really sold on their run game. Yes, they drafted Ronald Jones, but I'm just not sold that he's going to be the man or what everybody thinks he's going to be there. So I still think that the focal point of that offense is going to be Mike Evans. And when I was looking at my options at that point, I was going back and forth between Evans and Gronk. And I was hoping Gronk would make it back to me because I didn't think Evans would. But obviously he wouldn't have got picked right after me. And then he would have got picked by Lucas if he was still there.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Evans did go right afterwards. And that makes a ton of sense, you know, especially with Winston missing some games. So I'm glad that you brought that up. We were talking about Greg about the kind of first 3 weeks and where would they go? Are they going, you know, leaning more against the run, or are you going to see them kind of feature more of the passing attack? He kind of leaned more that they would go more against the run, that's what the team wants to do. They need to establish that. Now, I don't know if we'll see it. I mean, I don't know if they fixed that line 100%. It was kind of a bit of a makeshift one. But yeah, Gronk went afterwards, and then you took Jordan Howard. I love that pick. I've been seeing him drop kind of to the third, fourth round, and it's kind of ridiculous. Talk to me about Jordan Howard. Why is he dropping to the third round, and why'd you take him there? I mean, I like it, but, you know, for the people that don't like it.
So, you know, being on the ends is tough because you really – have to, any guys that are there on the board, they are not going to make it back to you. Right. So you really have to look at the board and decide what players that you like best. At the end of the year, or when you're 3 games into the season, the draft board goes out the window. The only thing that matters is your starting squad. That's what matters. So you have to think, am I going to be happy having this person on my team fielding him? And when I look to see the other players that were below him, after in terms of the running backs, there's Joe Mixon, there was LaShawn McCoy, There was Darius Geis, Derrick Henry. So Jordan Howard, to me, just with the LeSean McCoy situation, I love LeSean McCoy as a player. We're not really sure how all of this stuff is going to pan out, so I'm not willing to risk a 2-3 turn pick on him. And Joe Mixon I also really like, so I was debating between Joe Mixon and Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's been catching more balls. There's been reports of that. And when I watch Jordan Howard, he has that X-factor ability to break in, you know, to really be a back-end RB1 on the season, especially in a PPR. So to me, that was a pretty safe pick as my second running back. And then as my third pick, I took Larry Fitzgerald, which to me, if he's out there and he's playing, he is a PPR monster. He is a guaranteed wide receiver one for you. There's absolutely no question in my mind whatsoever. The next three guys, T.Y., Doug Baldwin, and Adam Thielen, I like all of them, but they all have question marks to me. Andrew Luck, I'm still not sold on. T.Y. should go in the second round if Andrew Luck is truly healthy. I'm just not buying it yet. I'm worried about Seattle's offense as a whole. Doug Baldwin was pretty hit or miss last year, and I don't think that team is better. I think that they have regressed. And Adam Thielen, we don't know who's going to be the primary target there in Minnesota this year. We don't know if it's going to be him or Diggs. So I wasn't willing to take him that early. So it was a pretty easy pick for me.
Anything standing out for you, George, so far in this third round?
You got two, and I'm not a big fan of taking the tight ends early. I'll take Gronk if he gets to me in the third. I considered it in the second, but I shied from it because I was hoping he'd come back in the third where I think his value is better. I'm not a big, huge fan of spending early draft picks on tight ends. Yes, you got your big three, which are the three that's been drafted, Gronk, Kelsey, and Ertz. And after that, it's pretty much a crapshoot on who's going to be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's not a whole lot that separates them. And there's just too much talent at more positions as your running backs and your wide receivers to spend an early round, a top three pick, round three pick on Kelsey and Ertz, in my opinion. If you can get them in 4 or 5, I think that's about where they should go. I'm just not a huge fan of spending early draft picks on your tight ends.
And I definitely agree with you there. I kind of went against the grain with drafting Kelsey there because I don't even have Kelsey above Rudolph. So I don't know. I was just kind of going through the motions and saw Kelsey's there. I wanted to draft Collins. Ooh, yep. And figured maybe he'd come back, but he's probably going to get sniped as I'm two picks away.
Yeah, Collins was actually picked back in the third round.
Just a girl.
Oh, yeah. So, that's what I should have done. And then went Rudolph probably the fifth round in retrospect. But, yeah, it looks good so far on paper. I am not necessarily buying in to the Kelsey being in that big three necessarily, even though I picked them there, just because there's another quarterback there. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to favor Kelsey, if he's going to see 84 balls, you know, if he's going to gobble up 84 balls as he did last year. But I do like, you know, obviously his potential. And now I'm kind of I'm on the board. I've got to grab a running back here.
So if it's a consensus pick that Travis Kelce is worth taking in the top four rounds, we'll say. Yes. Tyreek Hill's worth taking in the top three or four rounds. You're probably taking Sammy Watkins within the top 6 to 7 rounds.
Yep.
How come nobody's talking about Mahomes? I mean, if they're all that good and that's where they're going, you would have to think that Mahomes is going to be a top 10 quarterback with those assets being taken as early as they are.
So let me point one thing out here. Based off the preseason breakdowns of strength of schedule, the Kansas City Chiefs have either the second or the absolute toughest strength of schedule for a quarterback and one of the toughest strength of schedules for wide receivers. Patrick Mahomes, this being his first year starting, coming out there, it could be pretty rough going for him. I don't see him finishing as a QB1, see him finishing as a high-end QB2. It's really tough to say who is going to eat up all these targets and if they're finally going to go back to the run and just not throw it a whole lot because it's such a tough passing schedule for Mahomes.
So then when you'd think that would knock down a little bit of the value on the players on his team.
It should. I mean, it should.
For me, it does.
For what, Hunt maybe? Would you see a Hunt, boost from him, or do you see him maybe stacking the boxes and then everyone just kind of see regressions across the board?
You know, I think Hunt's going to be okay because I think Mahomes will be able to break open a few things with the run, and Tyreek Hill and Watkins are both burners, so they are going to air it out. I think the coaches will let loose a little bit and air it out. I think that will help open up the box. I'm not sure how much that it's actually going to happen in order to produce a lot of fantasy consistent fantasy value. But it's another one I'm just more hesitant on. So they're falling down my draft boards a little bit for things that are slightly more consistent, especially in a PPR. Tyreek Hill, I don't think, is going to catch a ton of balls. In a standard, I like him more.
Yeah, and one of the stats with Hill also, of his 8 touchdowns last year, 7 of them were for 40-plus yards or more. So you would think, I mean, obviously he's a big play wide receiver, and he could break one off any time, but they bring in Sammy Watkins, who can do basically the same thing, and is a little bit bigger. So you would think that would hurt Tyreek Hill's value as well, because he's not going to put up 7 touchdowns or 40-plus more.
In the third round, are you considering him a bust at this point?
I wouldn't say he's going to
be. For that value? For that value,
I don't like him. I would much rather have, like, Stephon Diggs came after him. I'd rather have Diggs. I'd rather have Cooper. I'd rather have Demaryius Thomas. In a PPR, I would definitely rather have Golden Tate.
Yeah. I think I'd even rather have Alshon, who's in the second year of that offense. And should kind of bounce back to being what he was, you know, if he could stay healthy. You know, I mean, because he was always a wide receiver one, you know, with Marshall or by himself, you know, granted different offense, but again, second year in the offense, I like that. I'm going to go back to the draft here. So in the third round, we saw after I took Kelsey, we saw Darius Geis, we saw Ertz go, we saw Tariq Hill go, Collins. So Just a Girl has Cook, McCaffrey, and Collins. Her first wide receiver is Juju Smith-Schuster. Interesting there. Florida 2-drink minimum. He went the whole different way. It looks like he went hybrid 0 RB, which I love. That's basically taking one high, you know, top 12 guy that's a running back and stacking your team with wide receivers, and the rest, you know, you're just stacking them appropriately. Grab a bunch of running backs. Hopefully one of them pops. Fournette, he's got Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Amari Cooper. And then we're into the fourth round here. Derrick Henry went by Ogun. Rojas took Aaron Rodgers. That was the first quarterback off the board in the fourth round. That's interesting. Demaryius Thomas went. I went and took Kenyon Drake, kind of going 0 RB here. Golden Tate went by Saul. He's got 2 running backs so far. And 2 wide receivers. He got Brown and Tate, great for PPR. Freeman and McCoy. McCoy doesn't stay. He doesn't get suspended. Should be fine. Then we saw Jay Ajayi go off the board. Alshon, Rashad Penny taken by George. Josh Gordon. Then Deshaun Watson taken by our very own Lucky Lucas. Marvin Jones, love that pick to start the fifth round.
It's shaping up pretty nice. Todd Gurley and Jordan Howard, love it. Larry Fitz and Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones is extremely underrated, and I think he is going to finish as the wide receiver 1 on that team. That guy just goes up and wins every single 50-50 ball that is thrown to him. And every report that I have seen about Deshaun Watson is that he is going to be ready to ball come week 1.
My Scott Fishbowl team hopes so.
Yeah, he should do extremely well in that format. Them legs, as long as he's not throwing picks, because that -4 is oof. That can.
Yeah, I got 2 quarterbacks in that league. I got him and Cam, so I went with the running quarterbacks for that.
Nice. Yeah, Cam. How was Cam on interceptions last year? I know he finished as the RB1 in a regular format.
He threw quite a bit. To be honest, he threw more than I thought he did. I'm looking it up as we speak. I think he had like 17 or 18 or something like that. It was a pretty high number.
We ended up with Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo and Scott Fishbowl. I'm pretty happy with those two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had 16 interceptions last year. The second most of his career.
Okay. I was going to say, he's usually in the lower teens.
Correct.
Now, with that, you know, especially with the Scott Fish format with the -4, I think it is super important to grab these running quarterbacks because they're going to pick up yards where they intercepted the ball. That's going to give them that boost. Whereas quarterbacks that aren't running the ball as much, they're just going to get that -4 and probably can't pick it up anywhere else if they're not doing it. So I've seen a lot of people kind of ignore the -4. And, you know, I think that could be a huge mistake, but we're going to obviously see as we're talking about another mock. I am up. I grabbed Mark Ingram in the last round. I'm just going to go ahead and continue grabbing running backs now. And although I don't prefer to do this, I'm going to grab Ronald Jones. Even though a lot of people say, why? He's a great pick there. Everybody knows if you listen to the show, I love Peyton Barber. I'm probably going to end up having both of them, so I'll have that backfield locked up, which isn't terrible. So yeah, Dirty Bird went with Deion Lewis back in the 5th round. Chris Hogan went to Jay Rojas, is his first wide receiver, and that's not a bad one considering Julian Edelman's probably going to miss some time, and we don't even know who the second wide receiver will be. Jordan Matthews is going to be Malcolm Mitchell, even though he's coming back from a shoulder injury or something like that. Then we got Sony Michel still in the 5th round here. Manny Sanders, Russell Wilson. These quarterbacks are going late. The 2-drink minimum. And
well, Cam Newton. That's because if you look when you set it up, you set this up as a super flex. So if you look at your picks, your roster, it tells you quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, flex, super flex.
Okay.
So we're doing a super flex draft, which I just now realized. So allow me to grab a quarterback, please.
Eesh, I had no idea as well. So
yeah,
I didn't have a quarterback. Oh man, I'm done. Yeah. I have no quarterback.
I didn't realize it wasn't a super flex either. I completely missed that. And then when 2-drink took the 2 quarterbacks, I was like, "What are you doing? This is a super flex." And if you look, everybody's starting to draft quarterbacks now.
Yeah. So what's that stupid flex? Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I did not announce that. Oh, but hey, you know, everybody got tremendous value considering Aaron Rodgers was the first quarterback to go off the board in the 4th round.
Yeah, so, that's not happening in super flex leagues.
No. No, not at all. This is more looking like a tight end premium with Gronk going and the rest of the other tight ends going before wide receivers. I mean, sorry, before quarterback. So you could kind of forget that this was the format. I mean, you'll probably never see this in the super flex, but now, I mean, you're just going to see just amazing value. Maybe we were all just super intelligent and we knew we could get great value later in the quarterback position. So this is what's happening. Talk a little bit about what's going on with your picks right now, Lucas.
So I just picked Matt Ryan as my 2nd quarterback. I'm rocking Deshaun Watson and Matt Ryan. I'm pretty happy with that. Have Marvin Jones and Larry Fitz and Todd Gurley and Howard. So now I'm debating where I would like to fill in if I want to go after one of my flexes here or go with this guy at the turn on the 7th, Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham is going to have a huge year. They paid the dude $30 million for 3 years. They're not going to use him to block. I know everyone says, oh, they never throw to the tight end. They're going to throw to Jimmy Graham. He's going to have 13 touchdowns this year. He's going to have a big year. When he was with the Saints, he averaged something like 135 targets per year. When he went to Seattle, he averaged 95. They didn't use him properly. I don't expect 135 targets, but I do expect something around 115 targets, which is a significant bump. And he has Aaron Rodgers, who is more accurate than – I love Russ, but Aaron Rodgers is better. So I think Jimmy has a big year. I think Aaron Rodgers finishes top 5.
Is better, but does he use his tight end? I mean, there's the argument we will always go back to. Does he use his tight end?
They're going to use him more like a wide receiver, though. I'm pretty confident of this.
Yeah, they've never had a tight end like Jimmy Graham. I mean, they look at who they've had in the tight end position in Green Bay.
I mean, had Jared Cook last year. He's a stud, right? Right?
No. No. I mean, you can't. I mean, look at who Aaron Rodgers has had at the tight end position. Most of his career, I think he's only had one tight end finish in the top 10. The name is slipping my mind at this moment. I think he's only had one tight end finish in the top 10 his whole career. He's never had somebody like Jimmy Graham. Never.
Michael Finley.
That's who I was thinking of. Thank you. He's going to – I'm on board with Lucas. He's going to have double-digit touchdowns easy in that offense.
That is a sexy-ass pick then if he gets double-digit touchdowns. I don't know how much of a hot take that is, but it could be because I've been hearing a lot of people just kind of dogging Jimmy Graham. The argument that, you know, Rodgers doesn't use his tight end much. But, you know, we could see that in, you know, I could see that happening. Yes, Rodgers has never had Jimmy Graham. We could see that. And it's not bad value at all. It's actually really good value. So
now everybody's loading up on quarterbacks.
Except for Steve. Superflex. Yes.
Everybody but Steve. Steve and Ogun are the only two people without one quarterback so far.
Yeah, and so far, you know, we've been seeing in this the seventh round so far, that's when they started to kind of just fly. Cam went by Florida to he basically put everybody on notice. Hey, we're in a super flex. Carson yep. Wentz went. Greg Olsen went. It's a nice pick. Kind of, is that lead or is that appropriate for Greg Olsen? He's
at the beginning of the sixth. That's about where it's
appropriate, I guess. Yeah, right.
That's about where he's going. If you want to load up on a tight end. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's late. I wouldn't say it's early. That's about right.
Appropriate. Corey Davis goes afterwards. Drew Brees goes afterwards. We got Ronald Jones I took. Tom Brady goes. Sammy Watkins. Marlon Mack. Been hearing some hype around him. At least he'll be ready for schedule for the camp that starts this week. Stafford goes to George after he realizes we're in a super flex. Philip Rivers. Matt Ryan, Lucas talked about Jimmy Graham. Now in the eighth round, Marshawn Lynch went, which I think is pretty good value considering he is a starting running back and there's not much left. I mean, at this point, you know, we're all taking guys that may do something. And then George took Andrew Luck. I mean, if the guy is healthy, bam, bam, that is some sexy quarterbacking right there. And that's a pretty nice team. That's a pretty nice team so far.
And what I did is, and it wasn't intentional. I thought he was the best quarterback left on the board, but I stacked him with T.Y. Hilton, which I actually like that stack.
Yeah, I love that a lot. That's pretty nice. Tevin Coleman went Steve. He's ignoring the whole quarterback super flex. Maybe they weren't on his one yet.
No, he knows, but he's on his own program. I've done a lot of these mocks with Steve's. He's on his own program. He does what Steve wants to do. He doesn't care what the board's doing or anything like that. He doesn't care. He just does his own thing.
So we're going to talk about Steve's team while we're on Steve.
Yep.
Steve is going hybrid zero RB. He has David Johnson. He's got AJ Green. He's got Doug Baldwin. He's got Alshon Jeffrey. He's got Brandon Cooks. He follows that up with Marlon Mack and Tevin Coleman. This could potentially be. I mean, this is how I love to draft. This is how I'm drafting pretty much all the time. It doesn't matter. Right now I'm having fun doing other stuff, right? But this is how I love to draft. So if anybody has any questions, don't even look at what I'm doing now, right? Just look at what Steve's team is doing. That's how I love to draft. It's quite a team right there. So Kirk Cousins goes afterwards. Jimmy Garoppolo, I take Ben Roethlisberger. I'm up again. And I am going to I'm going to look away from quarterback at the moment and grab a Jamal Williams.
Hey.
So then so Tariq Cohen goes off the board afterwards in the eighth round. Rex Burkhead, the other starter potentially left on the board. Kerryon Johnson goes afterwards. Patrick Mahomes. We were talking about Patrick Mahomes a little bit earlier. Aaron Jones went.
It's a little early for me.
A little bit, especially since he's missing games. He's got, you know, a road ahead of him to get back to the field. Especially Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery is just taking off, and they just look like the, you know, juggernaut tandem backs to have. We've seen, you know, the Patriots use two backs in James White and Rex Burkhead. They were both borderline RB2s. So we've seen big offenses is it can work. Now we're following into the ninth round. Evan Ingram, kind of that's appropriate too. I've been seeing Evan Ingram go high though, which I don't think he should be doing. But you know, it's a good pick right here for two drink minimum. Jameson Crowder loved the pick. Chris Thompson loved the pick. Pierre Garçon loved the pick. This is a great round right here. As far as value, in terms of value, Jared Goff went next off the board. Dirty Bird locked up his second quarterback. He's got Drew Brees and Jared Cook. I took Jamal Williams afterwards. I still need a second quarterback to pair with. I've got Hopkins, Julio, Kelsey, Drake Ingram, Ronald Jones, and Jamal Williams to start my running back core.
Just auto-drafted Michael Crabtree right in front of me.
That's terrible.
All right.
That's especially when it's auto.
So people are sleeping on Crabtree, yes, because he's now on the Ravens. Who do they have? Crabtree's their guy. Doesn't matter if it's Lamar Jackson or Flacco, they're going to throw the ball to Crabtree. That's an amazing value at the end of the eighth with Michael Crabtree. Now I'm having to go through and reevaluate because that was going to be my dude.
Rashard Perriman's still there. That's the man.
John Brown.
Rashard Perriman, huh? So what we're going to go ahead and do instead, we're going to take Isaiah Crowell.
Okay.
I really, really, really hate you. Just want you to know.
Yeah. So Isaiah Crowell's pretty good, guys. Everyone sleeps on him. He's been on the Browns. Like, he didn't have a good team around him. They were always in a negative game script. He's on a different team now with the Jets, who are not really a whole lot better, but he may get utilized better. So
there's more of an offense on the Jets this year than there was on the Browns last year.
And then we're going to go ahead and round it off with Robert Woods, because he has rapport with Goff already, and we'll see what Cooks can do, but doesn't really scare me. Give me as many parts of that Rams offense as I can get. I'll take Woods and Gurley all day long.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty nice offense. You'll want as many pieces of those high-octane offenses as you can get. And Woods is a part of that. So, yes, nice pick there. We got Carlos Hyde that went off the board right afterwards. We're going to go right back into the ninth round, right before we get back into the 10th. So going a little bit backwards here. So after I picked Jamal Williams, Delanie Walker went off the board. Saul took him. He's got Tom Brady, Garoppolo. He's got Landry, Tate, and Antonio Brown. His two running backs are Freeman and McCoy. Not a bad start. K. Page took Marcus Mariota the following round. The following pick. He now has Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota. If Marcus Mariota has a bounce back year, I mean, he's learning from what a Patriots coach. Doesn't always work, you know, right? But it could. You know, he's still got a lot of hype around him. So we'll see there. Kyle Rudolph, love that pick by Steve. And yeah, Steve continues to do things that, you know, I love, you know. So, yeah, C.J. Anderson, I love that pick as well. Kind of a sleeper, I believe. Not high, though.
Not high on who, C.J. Anderson?
Meaning, like, not too high? Did you feel like you kind of, reach firm or no?
No, I actually think in the back end of the eighth round, that's a good spot for C.J. Anderson. He had 1,000 yards last year. He's going into a much better offense in Carolina than what he came from in Denver. Better offensive line. He's going to slide right into the Jay Stu role. And if he gets 200 touches like Jay Stu did last year, I love C.J. Anderson at that value.
Now, are you worried any about the hype about Christian McCaffrey, 25, 30 touches?
No. He will break. If they give him 25, 30 touches a game, he's going to break.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he had 117 carries last year. They're talking about he could see 200.
No, he'll see an increase in carries. He'll probably get about 150, 170 carries. he's not getting 200 carries. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop listening to the coach speak.
Yeah. It is that time of the year. I mean, camp hasn't started yet, so of course they're going to talk up great things about these guys until we see them with our own eyes, right? And see, hey, this guy is going to do something or not. So, yeah, I do love that C.J. Anderson pick. It's probably where it should be. I mean, a lot of drafts haven't been going that way, but that's the reason why I questioned it. I love everything you said about him. And that's true. You know, I think he's going to be a nice punch in that backfield. And a lot of people are not really looking at him, it seems. So yeah, that's a lovely pick there. Then you took Ty Montgomery as well in the following round. Talk a little about Ty Montgomery, if you could.
I love Ty Montgomery. I think he's the best running back in that backfield. We don't know who the starter is, okay? Right. It could be Jones, it could be Jamal Williams, it could be Ty Montgomery, we don't know. But what we do know is Ty Montgomery's role. He's the pass-catching back. He's the back that Aaron Rodgers absolutely loves back there. I'm going to take my chances, especially in the ninth round. I'll take a guy that I've known. We've seen him be the starting running back in that offense. We know Aaron Rodgers likes him. We know he's going to catch the ball. Give me that guy.
Yeah, I mean, again, talking about guys in, you know, high offenses, putting up a lot of points on the board. Ty Montgomery should be there, stealing all types of work from everybody. Wide receivers, running backs. That's the thing that's nice about him. Hopefully you get that running back wide receiver designation tag from him so you could kind of move him around. Let's see. Julian Edelman went off the board afterwards. Could be huge value. Steve still doesn't have a quarterback.
On program.
Super flex. Yeah, on program for sure. Trey Burton goes next. Randall Cobb. Duke Johnson continuing to load up on running backs here. George Kittle goes. Nick Chubb. Will Fuller. Njoku. Chris Carson goes. And then we start the 10th round with Cooper Kupp. Corey Clement. Devontae Booker. Been seeing him go higher and higher. Devontae Parker. Kind of been seeing him stay where he's been at, you know, could be huge. Could be.
That's fair value in the 10th round. You're not really giving up a ton there. And if we remember, he started off on a really hot pace before he got injured last season. So just be aware of that. Don't be surprised if Parker decides to play ball again.
And then Robbie Anderson goes off the board afterwards. Dirty Bird, any...
So if you look at something I noticed real quick, Hoos, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah. If you look at what two drink minimum has done, and I find this to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. He took Leonard Fournette as his RB1 in the first. No problem there. Three consecutive wide receivers, two quarterbacks. Then his second running back is Aaron Jones. The third running back he's got on his team is Chris Carson. One guy is suspended for two games. One guy is being talked a little bit about. You hear chirps about, but I mean, I really don't see a second running back on his roster right now.
Who's you were on the board, buddy?
Yeah, and given this format, I would much rather have pieces that are going to contribute somewhat, you know, instead of a guy that may start or may not start. I'd probably rather have, you know, like a PPR back or something like that. Yeah, I'm going to make
it now.
So sorry about that. Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and pick Jordan Reed. All right, Jordan Reed, he could be huge if he stays on the field. Alex Smith loves him some tight ends. So,
yes, he does.
Yeah, well, we could either see Reed does well because of Alex Smith or Travis Kelce doesn't do well because Alex Smith's not there. So we'll see. It'll be interesting pair. Marquise Goodwin goes off the board afterwards. Great pick there. Sterling Shepard, love that pick.
Yeah, I was hoping one of those two was falling, but they didn't.
I'm not picking the way I'm not drafting the way I should. I'm just kind of just looking at it and, you know, not really taking my guys. Sterling Shepard should be on my team. And it's not because I'm a Giants fan. I just think he's going to explode this year, and it's pre all the hype around him. Naeem Hines, DJ Moore goes to Steve. Still no quarterback. Naeem Hines. I would have really much rather two drink minimum end up with a Naeem Hines than a Chris Carson, just because I believe that Naeem Hines will have a role Chris Carson may or may not. You know, I don't think he's going to get used if they end up using Rashad Penny. If they use Penny, I don't see them using Carson much. So I would have liked that more.
Instead of taking Aaron Jones, I think he should have went with either Chris Thompson or Ty Montgomery. Or even Carlos Hyde. All those were available, and they all have roles that you know they're gonna fill some sort of a role. Aaron Jones could come back after his two games and not play. We just don't know.
Yeah, so I mean that's some interesting stuff going on so far in this draft. A lot of good teams. Any team you wish that was yours? That's not yours.
Never mind.
So let me look through here real quick.
So Nyheim Hines, Gio went off the board right after Hines. Jordy was taken by Lucas, great pick, and Donta Foreman. He's starting on the pup list, but man,
I love that guy.
This is good news for him.
So much better than Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I mean he's super explosive. I mean if you have a set of eyeballs, you would have seen that. The guys he takes off and man. He's fun to watch. If he can be healthy, you know, at the somewhat of the start of the season, even though he's supposed to start off the pup list, he could be huge. He could definitely be huge. So Funch just goes off the board in the 11th round. Hearns and Cameron Meredith to Steve. Steve still does not have a quarterback.
I love that Cameron Meredith pick.
Yeah,
I wish I would have took him over Allen Hearns, to be honest.
Now, Cam Meredith pick.
I think I'd rather have Allen Hearns, to be honest.
I think I'd rather have Hearns.
I think you're better with Hearns.
Now, Cam Meredith. Let's talk about Cam Meredith a little bit, right? A lot of people were talking about Cam Meredith.
Let me get you honest.
Well, you know, I mean, he's open up. He's the best bet to be the number two. Are a lot of people just acting like Ted Ginn is not on the roster?
Look, yeah, Ted Ginn is going to get what he gets. Michael Thomas is going to get his. And if anything, I think Drew Brees is going to do slightly better than what he did last year in terms of putting up fantasy points. But they have gone to a running program. It's the Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara show. They run the ball when they're in the red zone. And people forget that they added Ben Watson as a tight end. He's going to eat up some targets in the red zone also. I don't see where Cameron Meredith is going to get the ball when you have two running backs that are RB1s, and you have Michael Thomas.
Well, we don't know if Ingram's going to come back and be an RB1. Apparently, he did something to Sean Payton in a former life, and Payton just has never forgiven him. I seen a thing on Twitter earlier today. It was actually just before we started the draft that they're saying Cameron Meredith is expected to fill the Marquise Colston role in that offense. So he'll be the slot wide receiver, which is what he is. He's a perfect slot wide receiver. He's an upgrade over he's better than Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn has one purpose in life. That's to stretch the field.
Sure.
Right.
I think Cameron Meredith is probably going to surprise a lot of people. I mean, before he went down when he was playing with Chicago in his second season. He was a wide receiver one. He had 66 catches, 888 yards, 4 touchdowns.
I mean, not all year, but when he was healthy. Well, you know, he was wide receiver one.
He's gonna get over 1,000 yards in that Drew Brees offense. And if you're telling me I can snag a wide receiver that's tethered to Drew Brees in the 11th round, and it's their wide receiver two, and it's the slot wide receiver in that offense, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just wanted to talk about him just because there's a lot of talk about him right now. And I agree with a lot of what both of you are saying, but I don't want people to forget about Ted Ginn Jr. He was a value last year, especially in the flex or a best ball. And he's kind of going undrafted now with the hype around Meredith, right? And rightfully so. You know, Meredith was a beast. You know, the fact that they even got him was interesting. The fact that they even were able to get him. You know, now I understand he wasn't healthy. He should be healthy by the time the season comes along. But yeah, that's a nice pick right there, Steve. Steve's got a great team without quarterbacks and a super flex, but I'm sure he's going to round it out just fine. Calvin Ridley went right after that. LeGarrette Blount, he's potentially another starting running back, potentially.
Yeah.
So it could have been like the last starting running back on the board. And unless you want to count Peyton Barber, like I'll probably take him in the next round if he comes back to me. But who only I believe that. But yeah, Blunt, then Nelson Agholor, who I believe is a pretty good pick as well. Even though we've seen most of his production with a different quarterback, I hope that pick doesn't turn out to be a bust, because I was going to take Kenny Stills. And I can't have Stills and Peyton Barber. Actually, I can. I could probably get Peyton Barber in the last round or something like that. But now I'm running on a tangent. So, yeah, Kelvin Benjamin goes. Mike Williams could be a huge value as well. Ogun picks Theo Riddick. Matt Breida goes. I love that pick. Love Matt Breida. Absolutely love Matt Breida. People are going to be sleeping on him. He's going to get used. And now we're waiting on two-drink minimum to see what he does, if he can round out his running back core right now, because it's looking kind of brutal. It's looking kind of brutal.
Yeah, I drafted so he can come talk to me later.
Yeah. Anything else we're seeing here? I'm personally liking just the girl, what she did, and a PPR, even though I don't necessarily go.
I think
it would, you running back.
Yeah, I wasn't upset at all, though. I love her three running backs. I absolutely love Dalvin Cook. I like Christian McCaffrey in a PPR. I would have taken Barkley at that spot if I was her to have Cook and Barkley, but that's just me. And then she came back around and took Collins, which I love. Right. It fell off for me. I'm not a huge Juju Smith-Schuster believer, not at the 4-2, not in the PPR. There's a lot of wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey, I like more there. Demaryius Thomas, I like more there. Josh Gordon, Marvin Jones, even Tate. There's a lot of guys I like ahead of Juju.
Yeah.
So that pick was a little off for me. But I think Emmanuel Sanders, he's, you know, always is a consistent, like, wide receiver two for you in a PPR. So that was fine. I like, you know, Carson Wentz, I like that. Patrick Mahomes, that was probably a little early for me. Crowder, I'm not sure about. Njoku, I think, is a freak talent. Corey Clement, I think, could see some action, especially if Jay Ajayi gets injured or that knee with no cartilage doesn't hold out. So I think she has a strong team. A couple picks I would have done differently, but overall I think a very competitive team.
So, Lucas, let me ask you about Njoku. I'm about to utter something I don't think anybody has ever said. Is there too many mouths to feed in Cleveland right now?
you know, that's – I'm going to say no, because Njoku, not a whole lot is expected of him, right? So he's going off as a bottom-end wide receiver one, but just based on his talent alone, I think that he should produce – produce where he's going off. And there's just so many offensive weapons there that we'll see who really breaks out, but I think everyone's going to eat.
Yeah, because they're talking about they might be interested even in bringing in Dez Bryant. And if they add him to Josh Gordon, Duke Johnson, Njoku, Jarvis Landry,
I don't see Dez going there. I see Dez going to, like, especially it hurts me to say it, like San Francisco.
I would love to see Dez in Indianapolis.
I think that if we knew for sure that Andrew Luck was doing his thing, then that might not be too much of a stretch. I've heard a rumor that Dez has been offered like 10 different by 10 different teams. Mm. And at this point, he's just waiting till preseason to make a decision and kind of let them battle it out at this point.
Now, what about the Patriots? You think what about if he ended up with the Patriots? I mean,
no, I don't think he's a very good fit. We just saw Cook come from there, and that just not be a it just wasn't a good fit for that team. Trying to think where else he could go. I mean, I think the Redskins. He could be really big on the Skins. I don't want to see him go into that division because I'm a Cowboys fan,
right?
So I could see the Skins. I could see the 49ers. Trying to think, I could see him on the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, because him and Fitz are completely different players. Okay, so it's my turn now on the 12-13 turn, and...
And what are you thinking here? You already got... You got Gurley, you got Howard, you got Fitzgerald, you got Watson and Ryan, you got Marvin Jones, Woods, Jordy, Crowell, Freeman.
So I have four Gordon's running backs and four wide receivers. I have two QBs and a tight end. So I'm pretty set at everything. So I kind of just get to start picking players that I like at this point. Mm-hmm. And there's no one that's just absolutely jumping out to me right now. So I'm going to go with this guy. Just because, although I really like Dalvin Cook, he is coming off a knee injury. And with Jerick McKinnon being gone there, Latavius Murray is one injury away, one unlucky play again from
becoming a touchdowns.
From getting a lot of usage. So I think it's pretty safe to take him there as my fifth running back. And now I'm just going to pop down and see what kind of wide receivers are hanging around. No one I just absolutely love or feel like I have to have. Yeah, he's who I'm staring down right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, okay. Over the boy, huh?
Yeah, yep. There really is a ton of mouths. I think Keelan Cole, unless you take him, which you could, he's falling to the 15-16 round in a lot of drafts.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He's going undrafted in a lot of drafts. And maybe, I know, NFL reporter or something said something about Keelan Cole recently, and which is funny because, we've been talking about him all offseason. So maybe there'll be some hype around him now. But, not upset about that. George takes Dez Bryant. Could be huge.
In the 13th round, yep. I was just looking at the players of who can I take that could make a potential impact. Sure. And we were just talking about Dez, and we don't know where he's going. He could retire. We don't know. But if he doesn't, and he signs with somebody, which we all expect him to do. He's just waiting out because he didn't want to do training camp and whatnot.
Yeah.
In the 13th round, if he's half of what he was a couple years ago, it's a late round bargain.
I agree.
100%. Kenneth Dixon goes to Steve next, still with no quarterback here. He's got two rounds left to grab his quarterback, though. So we'll see what's left, and let's see who makes him pay. If they're going to say no, I'm just going to grab quarterbacks just to grab them and be vindictive at this point, and just, maybe they're jealous of the rest of the team he has. Cam Meredith, Chris Ivory, that could start if McCoy doesn't, if he gets suspended. Kenneth Dixon, if we see an injury to Collins, or if he takes that passing down role. I'm up here, and I need another wide receiver because, strangely enough, I only have Hopkins, Julio, and Aguilar.
This is a very
weird draft. I guess I'll take our boy Cole here.
Yep.
If he's gonna do anything of what he did last in the season, now I know they were missing a lot of pieces, but hey, Bortles seemed to attach himself to the guy. And again, the guy had more points. I believe he was fourth in standard, second in PPR, the weeks 13 through 16. That's just amazing. If he can give me any of that, I'm pretty satisfied. We got Eli Manning that went afterwards. Let me go back to K. Page. He took Dak Prescott, his third quarterback. He's got Kamara, McKinnon, Thielen, Ajay, Miller. Watkins is his second wide receiver. He's got Cousins, Marcus Mariota. Trey Burton is his only tight end. He's got Shepard, Calvin Ridley, Geronimo Allison. And his third quarterback is Dak Prescott. Don't know how I feel about that team. But a lot to be desired, I guess, with the wide receivers there. Pretty good running backs, I guess.
He's relying heavily on his running backs because he doesn't really have anything for wide receivers. He's got Thielen and Watkins.
I like Shepard, honestly. I think Sterling Shepard is poised to be on that wide receiver 2-3 cusp. And for sure. definitely have a couple. He'll have a couple of games this season. I bet you he has two games this season that he finishes a wide receiver one. Sterling Shepard does. I bet you he has a couple of games that he just absolutely goes nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, Shepard's one of my guys as well this year, one of my sleepers. I don't know how long that'll last before he starts creeping up on boards. Yeah, you just look at what they did last year as far as the coordinator of the Vikings, now the coach for the Giants. You know, making everyone relevant, the tight end, you know, which, you know, Ingram, Rudolph, you know, you got Diggs. I think he can play that Sterling Shepard role. And of course, ODB, you know, definitely could play that Thielen, maybe not as big as Thielen, but, certainly the best, one of the best, in the league. So, I mean, they should be just fine. So look, after that, after Dak, we got Trubisky, Keelan Cole, Eli Manning went. To Dirty Bird, he's got his third quarterback, and it looks like a lot of people are not allowing and not allowing Steve to get his quarterbacks here, maybe that are going to start, and I don't think I will either, so I'm going to go ahead and take Bortles to pair with Keelan Cole.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. So,
I like Blake Bortles, which is weird to say, as like that quarterback 14 to 12. I think he could finish a quarterback 12 again. I don't know if he finishes much higher than that, but he's useful. I mean, you're able to use him down the stretch of last year. And, you know, he has his spots, you know, where, you know, if he sees anything of a boost this year, then man, it could be really big. And Steve, his first quarterback is Andy Dalton. So, it's not a bad first quarterback to have. And he's paired him up with A.J. Green. It's a nice stack. So maybe he had that in mind the whole time. You know, he knew he could get Andy Dalton in the late draft. There's still a couple quarterbacks on the board, too. So should need any. So he should still be able to get a Tyrod Taylor, a Case Keenum, a Tannehill, a Flacco.
As you said that, Case Keenum goes.
You know where it goes off the board. Unless we all just want to block him right here just for – being, you know, just for outsmarting us all and ending up with such a stacked team. Man, I think, yeah, Steve has the best team for me. I feel, you know, but that's because he drafted a team only I would draft. I don't even like my team in comparison. Just, it's fine, but man, I'd much rather have Steve's team.
This 2 week quarterback thing threw me off. I normally draft heavy with the running backs. I'll take two of the upper tier wide receivers, and then I'll just load up on my running backs. I'll end the draft with 6, 7, 8 running backs. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
But this two quarterback threw me off.
Yeah, it definitely kind of did as well. I mean, I started to go, you know, my running back heavy. So I still did that the same. I just would usually have a lot more. I mean, Hopkins and Julio isn't bad, but, you know, I usually end up with like at least three super stud wide receivers before I even do anything else with the rest of my draft. But, you know, I'm still not upset with it. I got Kenyon Drake, Mark Ingram, Ronald Jones, Jamal Williams, Duke Johnson, Peyton Barber to round off my backs, Jordan Reed and Kelsey for my tight end. And wide receivers, Keelan Cole, Nelson Agholor, again, Hopkins, Julio. Quarterbacks are Big Ben and a little mini Big Ben, Blake Bortles. A lot of people were saying that he could be Big Ben. So far we're in the last round. Anything else standing out to you guys so far?
No, we pretty much covered everything. I like Ricky Seals-Jones in the 14th round. I like that pick quite a bit.
You're not worried about his off the field incident?
No. I don't think it's going to have too big of an impact, but obviously that still has to play out.
Yep. I like what Ogun did with his team. He started out with Odell, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, three great wide receivers, and then followed up with Derrick Henry, Sonny Michel. I'm not a huge fan of Sonny Michel, but in the 5th round, that's about right for him. Greg Olsen, Kerryon Johnson, who I like, Chris Thompson, who I love, Will Fuller, Devontae Booker, Theo Reddick, Jack Doyle, Derek Carr, and Kenny Golladay. That's a pretty solid squad, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. This might be my second favorite team, just because, yeah, as I was speaking earlier, alluding to, that's kind of like the way I like to draft as well. I agree with you about some of those picks, some of the, you know, the running backs, but not a huge fan of Derrick Henry. But the guy could do huge numbers this year if he returns what he should. I mean, if he plays anything like he used to when he was teammates with Fournette. I mean, or he came from the same team, you know, that's, we haven't seen that yet, but he had that potential apparently. So he's got the backfield, hopefully.
Yeah. If Deion Lewis turns back into Deion Lewis, and what I mean by that is he gets injured again, because last year was the first year he's ever gone where he didn't get injured. Henry's going to be huge. I'm buying Derrick Henry. I don't hate him at all. The fact that he's going in the fourth round is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, I the value there in the fourth round, I've been seeing him go second, third, you know, which I don't love. But yeah, in the fourth round, yeah, I take that. Yeah, I'm taking that at that point. So yeah, this was a pretty fun draft. We didn't have to draft any defenses or kickers. We just pretty much did flex, quarterbacks, all that fun stuff. So no nonsense about defense or anything or kickers. I'm sure Jake Seeley appreciate that. Give us a pat on the back for that. yeah, that's pretty much about it. Guys, got anything before we go?
The last pick in the draft I actually liked. Elijah McGuire, I think he's going to be, if you can get him that late in your draft, that's going to be a good value. He's going to return value on being picked this late.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, especially he's supposed to be what, the PPR back there, right?
Yep.
I mean, Powell, he had his opportunities and just didn't seem like he was able to capitalize on it. So McGuire didn't do too much last year. I thought he would. But apparently he's looking better in the offseason. Cam is just starting, so we're going to see a lot. It's going to be revealing. And that's pretty much it. That's all we got for the show today. Thank you guys for tuning in. George, you want to tell the good people where to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BFTGpod. You can find me on the Sleeper. Oh, I almost called the Sleeper bot. You can find me on the Sleeper app at BFTGEO.
And Lucas, where can they find you, buddy?
They can find me everywhere at SleeperWireLBB.
Yeah, and if you were at the conference last week, you would have saw him there. He had absolutely a bunch of fun and made George and I very jealous. That's pretty yes much all we got.
Yes, sir.
They've already bought their tickets for next year.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there. All right, for myself, Steve in the back editing this up, and George and Lucas, we'll catch you guys next time, Sleepers. Have a good one.